All across our nation, many injured service members need our help.
I was deployed 3 times, 2 times to Iraq, 1 Afghanistan. Our vehicle ended up hitting an improvised explosive device.
You can honor and empower those who have sacrificed so much for us. At Wounded Warrior Project, we provide free, life-changing programs and services that can change a person's life forever.
I was just so worried that I wasn't going to be able to fulfill my job as a father.
They need your help, and they need Wounded Warrior Project.
Well, good afternoon to you. 306 WMAL, where Washington comes to talk. It's the Fisher House Radiothon right here on WMAL. We're in the final 3 hours. You got me? That means you can do so much good for military families in these next 3 hours. Help us out here on the Vince Colonnais Show by taking care of them through the great people at the Fisher House. The number, 888-294-8560, 888-294-8560. We have so many great guests who've been affected by the Fisher House, who've stayed at the Fisher House, who've worked with the Fisher House. They're all ahead. Janet Prado will be with us just minutes from now. Her son was severely injured in Afghanistan back in 2016 in an IED blast. She benefited from being able to stay in the Fisher House in proximity of her son as he got his medical treatment. A lot of important stories to hear today. Again, our Fisher House Radiothon continues. The number right now, in terms of the money raised by the WMAL audience just in these last 2 days, you ready for this? It's a good number. $312,517. God bless you for every penny that's headed towards the Fisher House now to help our military families. And if you haven't donated yet, or if you'd like to donate again because the season of giving has reached you and you're like, you know what, I just got to do it again, that's perfectly fine. You should do it. It's 888-294-8560, 888-294-8560. Also ahead, Brian Kilmeade joins us. That's coming up at the bottom of this hour. He's going to be in town, so he wants to tell you about that. We'll talk about the news of the day as well. Joe Concha is going to be here. We'll talk about Kamala Harris and how unpopular she is. She's so unpopular, her own staff is quitting. And then at 5 o'clock, Azra Nomani joins us. Fairfax County school board proceedings last night. She is both a journalist and a concerned parent, and she will bring us an update there at 5 o'clock. Also, you see that the New York Times and others are reporting that this Omicron variant is, things are really heating up here. It's very scary out there. They claim that Omicron is now moving at a very fast rate. They claim that Omicron is infecting people at twice the rate of Delta. I know. I'm scared, too. I'm doing this show from the corner of the room. I'm shaking. Also, one of the things we keep hearing is how mild the damn thing is and how few hospitalizations it's provoking. And the questions become is being asked more and more, perhaps even at your dinner table. Maybe there's an upside to everyone who's vaccinated catching some sort of mild Omicron COVID variant, you know, so that way we can just get the heck out of this thing. Like, wouldn't mild incidences of coronavirus worldwide decrease the number of people who are dying from COVID in the future? I think so. I'm pretty sure that's how immunity works, right? Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, maybe there's an upside to this thing being on the move. The updated number for you on Omicron cases in the United States as of this afternoon. You ready? Here comes the sound effect again. 10 people. Justifies all sorts of incursions on your life. And, of course, the White House announcing giant, you know, new travel restrictions, new testing requirements. They're really coming after you. And they want to make sure that they can stop this Omicron before it gets too far, even though it's already in the country. Pay no attention to that. So that's Joe Biden has rolled out all these plans to tackle Omicron. But, you know, Biden himself, he's had a weird 24 hours, hasn't he? Did you see that he went out to do the Christmas tree lighting last night and he came out like super late? Like LL Cool J, for some reason, was hosting the Christmas tree lighting and he's standing on stage and he tells the crowd, now introducing President and Dr. Biden, he calls them out and they're nowhere to be seen. Listen to the awkward moment last night over at the White House.
Now, it is my tremendous honor to welcome our literal host, the actual host for this very American celebration.
Very.
President Biden and First Lady Dr. Jill Biden.
That's right. Put your hands together. Oh, yeah. Where are they? Probably taking a second to get up the stairs. All right. I paid good money for these tickets. Where is he? The band sounds great. There's no president. They haven't appeared yet. The band may need to stop playing for a second. Save that energy. Yeah, thanks, guys. All right, hold up. Where's President Biden? All right, so this goes on for 2 minutes, and the crowd just is like fading. They're like the music goes out. Everyone's just standing around, shifting uncomfortably and silently. Finally, LL Cool J himself walks across the stage and then walks down the stairs as if he's going to look for the president now. Did he fall into a bush? What happened? And finally, LL Cool J returns to the microphone.
All right, good vibes, good vibes.
Good vibes.
All right, so we want to do it again. Not the whole thing. You know, you're good.
Is this the most staged White House ever? The guy has a fake Oval Office that he does press conferences from.
You all stood up, very patriotic. That's wonderful. Yes, you're respecting the office. You're supposed to. Sit down again one more time. All right? You know? It'll be fine. Things gonna go well.
Okay. What's going on? He's got to do it again. But you hear that? Somebody in the background says, applause, everyone. Tells the crowd that they need to start applauding. Here's LL Cool J. A
lot of applause. And now, it's my tremendous honor to welcome our real host, our literal host for this very American celebration, President Biden and First Lady Dr. Jill Biden.
Oh, finally. All right, so he finally shows up on the stage. Now, this morning, all of a sudden, you know, they get miserable economic numbers come out that far missing expectations. And so they send Biden out to try and, you know, put a bow on this thing to suggest that, like, the numbers are good. And listen to Joe Biden's voice.
Our economy is markedly stronger than it was a year ago. And today, the incredible news that our unemployment rate has fallen to 4.2%.
You hear that? You hear the baritone? The deep, raspy voice he's got going on? The White House says he's sick. The White House is finally admitting that he's sick. And they claim that he's got a, quote, frog in his throat. I swear to you, that's what the doctor's statement says, that he has a frog in his throat. Now, should we take this literally? Does he literally have a frog in his throat? Because that's the way they treated Trump, right? Trump says, like, hey, we need to explore whether or not, you know, I don't know, does bleach or something work or light? Would that help disinfect things? Is that useful? And then remember, they were like, oh, he's talking about literally injecting bleach into people. No, he wasn't. Come on. So does Joe Biden literally have a frog stuck in his throat to the point that he sounds like Barry White?
There's something wrong with me.
Yeah, there is. There sure is. Now, Peter Ducey actually got a chance to ask Joe Biden about this today, and he said, I'm sorry, I just can't help but notice, your voice sounds insane. Why?
Your voice sounds a little different. Are you okay?
I'm okay. I have a test every day to see a COVID test. I have it checking for all the strains. What I have is a 1.5-year-old grandson who had a cold who likes to kiss his pop. And he'd been kissing in my... Anyways.
Why do you have to make it so creepy? Like, can you describe this like a normal person? Like, I got a cold. Probably got it for one of my grandkids, but it's totally fine. I'll be fine. None of this, like, he likes to kiss me. We were kissing. Anyway.
So, but it's just a cold.
It's just a cold. Like I said, the White House released a statement today explaining the official diagnosis from Kevin C. O'Connor, the physician to the president. saying, as is readily apparent, President Biden is experiencing some increased nasal congestion this week. This can be heard in his voice, and he's feeling the colloquially well-known, quote, frog in one's throat. Investigation has included a comprehensive respiratory panel, which includes 19 common respiratory pathogens to include COVID-19. Yada, yada, yada. They say he doesn't have any of those. So don't you worry your little head. It's just a frog. That's right. This is the Fisher House Radiothon right here on WMAL. Please support the Fisher House and our military families. 888-294-8560. Our next guest is a woman named Janet Prado. Her son, First Lieutenant Victor Prado, was wounded by a suicide bomber on November 13th, 2017. And she joins us on the phone right now. Janet, thank you so much for spending some time with us this afternoon.
And thank you for doing this radiothon. This is just an amazing foundation and group, and really so supportive of us during that very, very difficult time.
If you could, if it's not too much, would you share with us this, your son's story, and then how ultimately you came into contact with the Fisher House?
Yes. Victor graduated from college and commissioned into the Army with seven other students, and that they're very important to the whole story. Two of those students' parents, one was Navy full-time, and one was Army, and that really played a big part in it, because I didn't know what a Fisher House was at the time. Victor then, he had an engineering degree, so he went on to Fort Leonard Wood, and finally in July of 2017, he was deployed. And he worked, it was funny, because he worked in, like, doing human resource stuff in the beginning. And he's like, what do I know about human resource stuff? And I was like, ah, you're bright, you can do it. But he finally got a platoon, and he was out on, they were, I guess, checking roads to make sure that everything was fine and there were no bombs on the roads and stuff. Again, being an engineer, that's what he and his platoon would be doing. He was with 82nd Airborne. And a 600-pound bomb in a truck pulled over and rammed into the vehicle that he was in. And Victor will say that he looked death in the eyes. He looked that man in the eyes that was trying to kill him. He was lucky enough, they were in, I think, an MRAS, but a vehicle that could sustain this collision. So I believe there were four U.S. military people in the vehicle. Mm-hmm. Victor and the driver got hurt. The vehicle hit the driver's side. So the driver got a burn, and he got a TBI. Victor got thrown out of the vehicle and wound up getting partially crushed by the vehicle. And is now a quadriplegic. So my husband and I were here that Monday morning, that the 13th. We were still home, and we got the call. And I remember I was kind of partially asleep, and I remember my husband coming in and going, are you telling me Victor's hurt? Are you telling me Victor's hurt? And that was the beginning of a week of surreal. That's the only way I can explain it. Absolutely surreal. However, we decided he was flown into Landstuhl, and we decided we needed to get there. He had talked to us a few times, but then we found out that there were some negative things that had happened while he was in Landstuhl, and we were concerned about how well he was doing. Mm-hmm. So I had no idea what I was doing, and I wasn't really even functioning. We had friends make the flight arrangements over to Germany, and at this point, one of the military families that Victor had commissioned with and had been friends with in college reached out to me and said, if you're going to Germany, you can stay at Fisher House. And I was like, huh, fine. I didn't even understand what that meant.
Yeah.
But that's when we spent probably almost 6 months in Fisher Houses, starting in Germany, going to D.C., and then finishing up in Tampa. So we flew into Germany. We got a ride into Landstuhl, which is where they typically bring any military persons that are hurt.
Yeah.
We were lucky enough to meet Vivian Wilson, who recently retired. She'd been in Landstuhl for a very long time, and she really understood what parents like us are going through. I mean, you're just barely functioning and barely understanding what's going on. You're meeting hundreds of people, caring, very involved people. But she sat down with us in the very beginning after we had seen our son and explained, you know, here's a book. I still have the book right on the side of the bed. Put all the cards of everybody you meet in there. Write notes on the back, mm-hmm. you know. And she gave me a 3-ring binder. And she said, you want to keep every record of everything that's happening to Victor in this binder.
Sure.
And really set us up for the next 6 months of his recuperation and rehab. So, I mean, that was the first step and the first opening in Fisher House. And then at one point, I remember we were, she helped us interact with other people on the Landstuhl base. I didn't have warm enough clothing. I hadn't packed very well. Mm-hmm. And we were able to get gloves and scarves and stuff so we could be warmer and comfortable. We then, after 3 days in Landstuhl, got flown into Walter Reed, mm-hmm. and we stayed at one of the original Walter Reed Fisher houses, and those were two-story. Most of them are now one-story, now they're all built for wheelchair people. So,
yeah.
The kitchens you can get under the sink, and the bathrooms,
yes.
they're very accessible, which again was something didn't even occur to me that, you know, those were things that were important and needed. But one of the first real memories I have is coming back to a Fisher House. So we got there probably late November.
Yes.
And coming back one day and seeing the Fisher House all fully decorated, and you know, for Christmas, and it was just like you almost forgot Christmas was there.
Yeah.
And here was this wonderfully warm house with the tree, and I hadn't done any of the work. It was lovely.
Oh my gosh. Well, I tell you, I'm so appreciative of you and your son. I know so many of our listeners are. Janet Prado, thank you for sharing your stories about the Fisher House. It's a great organization, and we really appreciate you, Janet. Thank you.
You're welcome, and thank you for doing this. We appreciate it.
God bless. And you can support people like Janet and her family and her great son by making the call right now. It's 888-294-8560, 888-294-8560. Brian Kilmeade on the other side of the news. Good afternoon to you. 335 WMAL, where Washington comes to talk. This is the 2021 WMAL Fisher House Radiothon. The Fisher House providing homes, temporary lodging to military families and service members around the planet. 92 Fisher Houses all around the world. They've served over 413,000 active duty military and veteran families. On any given night, more than 1,300 of those families are staying in these homes, and it's in their moment of need. They're staying next to VA hospitals, next to active duty military hospitals. Families staying at Dover receiving their fallen loved one. This is an important mission, and we're so proud to support it right here on WMAL, and you can do that too. Please help me. 888-294-8560. 888-294-8560. Zero is the way to do that. I want to extend my gratitude to Brad in Stafford, Virginia, who just set up a recurring donation, $75 monthly donation that Brad's going to be offering going forward. That's what a nice gesture. You can do that. Also, I really recommend, if you haven't actually picked out a Christmas gift for the loved one who's really difficult to shop for, my guess is they'd be very grateful if you give a gift to the Fisher House in their name. And then, you know, and provide this great gift of taking care of the people who take care of this country. Their service is donning that uniform and being a part of those families. Our service is giving back to them. And you can do that again at 888-294-8560. Our total right now for WMAL's audience here, the WMAL Radiothon, is $315,508. That's That's because of you. So thank you for that. I'm really happy to have with us now our next guest from the Fox News Channel, the great Brian Kilmeade. He's the author of a fantastic book. It's called The President and the Freedom Fighter, Abraham Lincoln, Frederick Douglass, and Their Battle to Save America's Soul. I really enjoyed this book, and I'm glad Brian Kilmeade's back with us now. Hello, Brian.
Hey, Vince. Thanks for doing that. Also, the great thing about the recurring donations, because I know a lot of people that run these foundations, they can budget. So you might say, well, what is $75 or what is $12? It just gives them an idea of money coming in and allows them to budget, maybe make purchases and get loans and things like that.
Yeah, so the charity has a sense of, okay, here's what's coming in. We can use that in order to help these service members and their families out. It's a great point. And, they're just such a great organization, the Fisher House. So, this is the annual radiothon that we do here, and it's been a great relationship. We've had it for the last 19 years, and we're still going strong. So thank you for mentioning that, Brian. The book, I understand you're coming. Are you coming to the area? Are we going to be able to encounter you and get a signature or two on the book?
Well, Tyson's Corner, I'll be there Sunday. So if everyone just go to BrianKilmeade.com, you'll find out exactly all the details. But I have not had a book out without stopping by Tyson's Corner. So it was one of my favorite stops. Get a chance to talk to everyone down there, as well as and have a chance to sign books, take pictures, and then I'll head home right after.
Amazing. Well, let me just ask you, first of all, again, I can't recommend the book highly enough. If you just want to know the basics about Abraham Lincoln and Frederick Douglass, this isn't the book for you, because it's not just basics. I mean, it is just, it's full of good information about these two men and their concurrent rise in America and the role that they played as historic figures. And it's really, it's just, and if, even if you don't know a lot of the other history, it's so accessible the way that Brian writes it. So, I really encourage it. And Brian, you've had, how's the book doing? I mean, this is a New York Times bestseller now, right?
Yep. Four straight weeks, top 10, three for 2 weeks. Now it's eight, and, got a lot of competition, but it's selling as good as anything I've ever put out. And I think part of it is it's in the news, and nobody knows it better than Virginia, because when you talk about CRT, when you talk about 1619, which, shocker, New York Times puts it out and it's number one. I don't know why anyone would buy the book. It really should be not. It should be under the fiction side. But what bothers me most is you're asking people, you know, is America an exceptional nation? And everyone says, you know, who listens to us would say, yeah. Well, I want to give them the follow up is why. Not because we're perfect, because we try to be. And nobody is, Vince, in your life or my life, is trying to whitewash slavery.
No
one's saying that people that don't like CRT don't want to talk about what America did. Yeah, we, just like every other continent and any other country, there was slavery in our country. Absolutely, as we became a country. We weren't built on it. We fought a war to get rid of it. And even our founding fathers knew there was a problem. It was a put yourself back in those times, which I try to do, and with Washington and Jefferson and Monroe and Madison were born into. That was the culture in the South, and these are the deals that were cut, and they finally came to a head. So with the Civil War in the backdrop, I wanted to talk about two self-made men who emerged at the perfect time to help what I think is the closest thing to a perfect country. And there's a few things to take away from that. Number one, to get the depth of these characters, the need for education, their thirst for education. They had to go find it because it was kept from them, especially with Douglass. If you were teaching a slave to read and write, you would go to jail. And if you were caught reading and writing, you would go to jail or die. And Douglass didn't care. He had a thirst to learn. He knew there was much more to his life than what he was living. And the more he learned, the more he was determined to leave. Mm-hmm. And he does escape to freedom on September 3rd, 1838. He writes his biography and leaves out details because he knows he doesn't want to get anybody in trouble that helped him escape or to reveal how he did it. Mm-hmm. So this book isn't something where I pretend to know what they did. I go to their speeches and their words, and Frederick Douglass updated his biography three times. And this guy is an extraordinary man. He's half Malcolm X, half MLK, and half Cassius Clay. And I just am amazed by what he was able to do, how he was able to communicate. And everybody, most people do know the basics of Lincoln, but how they came together at the end is what I try to go through in this book.
You know, the interesting thing about Frederick Douglass, one of many, is that in modern times, what you have is kind of like the 1619 Project types, who have hijacked Frederick Douglass's story and distorted it in such a way to suggest that he would be on board with their distortions of American history. But the truth is, as you've explored, the truth couldn't be further away. I mean, the reality is Frederick Douglass was pursuing that more perfect union. Frederick Douglass was drawing on those founding documents and saying that we have something to fight for here, and it doesn't involve, like, emphasizing our skin color, but instead emphasizing our humanity. And that flies directly in the face of all the 1619 garbage.
Listen, Vince, we want to make the country better. We don't think it's perfect. I would look at myself in the 20s, my 40s, and my 50s, and say, well, you know, I've grown. That's what you witness in these two men.
Yeah.
They have beliefs. They're smart. They're separate, but they also grow and they evolve. Guess who else evolves? Almost everybody we know that amounts to anything in life. And in the beginning, Douglass thought we had to tear up the Constitution and rebuild this country. And the more he studied, the more he learned, the more people he talked to, he said, no, we have to live up to our Constitution, not tear up our Constitution. And Lincoln was somebody who constantly evolved. In the beginning, he says, you know, I think everyone should be free, but they're not equal. Like Benjamin Franklin, by the end of his life, he feels differently. He basically runs his second term as an abolitionist. It doesn't make me want to tear down a statue or take his name off an elementary school. It makes me want to learn about the men and their times. And what I think our listeners get and our viewers understand is America is a work in progress, but everybody wants to be here to make it better. And we never had a generation wanting to destroy our past like this one.
I can't help but wonder how you feel about this analogy. I'm gonna make it. I don't really know what your position is on it, but right now this week, the Supreme Court has been hearing a case on whether or not to overturn Roe versus Wade, and by extension, Planned Parenthood versus Casey, from the 1970s. And it's obviously a very contentious issue. But occasionally, and I'm very pro-life. I've said it many times. The way I think about this issue is I kind of wonder, you know, whether or not we're going to be able to look back on it, say 50 years from now, the same way perhaps people did 50 years after the Civil War, and say, we did the right thing. We were able to get rid of just a horrific scourge on our society, the annual genocide of millions of American babies. Do you see parallels here? I mean, because you wrote about a very important time in American history where there were a lot of people making rationalizations for awful things, specifically slavery. And I feel like we're living in a moment very much like that.
Including the Catholic Church, who they would let these slave owners be church leaders. And at the same time, they go back and they would, you know, beat their, you know, they'd own people. And we think, how could they do that? Well, if for some reason was accepted then. And by the way, Frederick Douglass hated religion until he came north. And he realized they were screwing up Christianity. Doesn't mean you hate Christianity. Vince, I do see a parallel. I do see a time maybe we look back and say, what was America thinking? But what was the world thinking? So we're not the ones who invented the pro-life, pro-choice movement. We have our own views of it. And, you know, I cannot give a scholarly argument for it, of abortion. In fact, we pretty much avoided abortion from the time I joined Fox in 1997, the most divisive issue in the country. But one thing is pretty clear. If the baby was conceived and would have to be grow outside the womb, if it just grew on its own in an incubator, I don't think anyone would doubt when life starts. But it's about the women's right to choose, because it's a woman's body. And the question is, when you see the gruesome argument that Judge Sotomayor put together saying babies are like vegetables, you know, if I take a corpse and I try to tickle his feet, the feet will move even though the body is dead. I'm like, well, are we really having an argument this way?
Yeah.
You know, does a corpse suck his thumb? Because there's 15 weeks, a corpse is, there's a baby sucking his thumb.
That's right.
So technology has brought this argument to a whole different level. And I think that I'm not smart enough to know, but how about this? I'm humble enough to say I don't know and not condemn previous generations. Study them.
Yep.
Don't condemn. Put yourself in the 1960s. Put yourself in the 1860s. Read about it. Don't get people's opinion on it. And that's what I'm just trying to do with this. Remember 2008, Barack Obama, marriage is between a man and a woman. That's
right.
That's what he ran on. That's what he won on. In 2012, you know what? Same-sex marriage is now widely accepted. And he ran on that. And he said anybody who basically who doesn't believe that is a bigot or is anti-gay. And I'm thinking, wow, how did that argument switch? Mm-hmm. Should I condemn Barack Obama in 2008? Should I praise him in 2012? Or is that an example of a human being growing and changing? I thought we were okay with that. I thought we were okay. You know, that, I know for politicians it's tough. George W. Bush, H.W. Bush, for example, right. Pro-choice, runs on the Republican ticket. He's pro-life. He said, I evolved. You know, you can decide if he evolved or not, if he means it or not. I call that being a human being.
Yeah. Yeah, it's important that we learn from our mistakes, and you've written about many of those mistakes, including in this latest great book about Frederick Douglass and Abraham Lincoln. Brian Kilmeade will be in Tyson's Corner this Sunday. You can find out more on briankilmeade.com. Brian, great to talk to you, sir.
Yeah, I just found out. I just looked it up. It'll be at Tyson's Corner at the Barnes & Noble there. And if you guys want to get tickets, because in this COVID environment, they just want to know, have a plan. The COVID environment, I'll be there at 1 o'clock, starting to sign.
Excellent. Brian Kilmeade, God bless. Great to talk to you, sir.
All right. Thanks, Vince. Go get him.
All right. Now, please, as I mentioned before, make those phone calls to the Fisher House Foundation, 888-294-8560, 888-294-8560. You can't help them enough. We really appreciate it. That's right. This is the Fisher House Radiothon, 888-294-8560. Please pick up the phone and call and help out the Fisher House and our great military families, active duty service members, veterans, their children, the people who need our help, who've given so much for this country. Our gratitude is extended today to Robert from Hohokus, New Jersey. Hohokus, New Jersey, just in time for Christmas. Robert just called in and said, yep, here's $1,000. He gave $1,000 to the Fisher House Foundation. God bless you, Robert. Thank you for that. Look, there's not much time left. Please make your donation now before the conclusion of this here Vince Colonnais program. All you got to do is call 888-294-8560. Our next guest is Jennifer Kutstra. She visited an ophthalmologist and learned that she was suffering from a very dangerous swelling of her brain and ended up being introduced in the process to the Fisher House. That's where her parents stayed. Jennifer, we're really grateful for you to spend some time with us today. Thank you.
It's so good to be here. I'm so excited to be able to share what the Fisher House had done for me and my family.
Tell us, please, if you would, tell us your story and then how your family ended up staying at the Fisher House of Walter Reed.
Yeah, so I was living in Germany with the Air Force and as a military spouse. And developed kind of some crazy symptoms, and was actually in the very early stages of a divorce, unfortunately, when I was diagnosed. And so had kind of been going through a lot and, you know, wasn't actually probably being treated, you know, initially for what was actually going on with me because of the situation with the divorce. So, you know, it was not all in my head, but it was all in my head. We kind of joke about that. So I was preparing to leave to go back to the United States, and I needed a new prescription for my contacts. And so I went to the eye doctor, and I told them I'd been having these terrible headaches and just couldn't function. My balance was off and all these problems. And I said, if I had a tumor, would you know it? And she said, no, you don't have a tumor, but something's wrong with you. And this was 2 days before Thanksgiving, 10 years ago in 2011. And she sent me directly, had my friend take me to the hospital in Landstuhl in Germany. And sure. Then I was admitted the next day and was told that I'd be flying on an air vac mission back to the United States and going to Walter Reed. And I was just like, this is all the things that I've heard about, but now it's me. So it was really kind of overwhelming, but also really great because I had been so sick for so long and didn't know what was wrong with me.
Yeah.
So it was nice to have a clear idea of, like, even though I was getting ready to have brain surgery, knowing that there was something that, you know, that they could help me with.
And so Jennifer, your parents stayed at the Fisher House to support you through all of this. And right. how much did that mean to you?
So much, because I was alone. And I didn't have anyone with me, and I was in a place I'd never been before. And so it was just really nice that my parents could be right there, and it was easy for them. And we're from Oklahoma, so D.C. is kind of a big change.
Yeah.
So nice and convenient that they could easily come be with me in the hospital. And then I was actually in the Fisher house from December until March. So I was there a long time.
And if you could tell people one thing about the Fisher house that you think would really send the message to them of how valuable it is, what would it be?
Well, I wouldn't have had any. I would have been completely alone if it weren't for the Fisher house, or it would have been just a huge burden on my family to have to stay in a hotel for 3 weeks. And, so it was just when people are going through a really hard time, to have that burden removed, it just means everything.
Yeah. God bless you, Jennifer. I really appreciate you sharing your story today. It means a lot. We want people to know how great this Fisher House is. They've been doing so many great things for so many great people, including yourself. Thank you, Jennifer.
Thank you.
All right. Call the number 888-294-8560. Real simple. 888-294-8560.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.